Start recording this. Hey, welcome back to The Protectors. And as usual, we're just starting a conversation. We got an awesome guest today. He's doing so much for the community, so much for just, you know, a lot of people out there right now. And I love having people like this on. So what's going on, Chef?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
I love calling people Chef, man. It's like the best thing ever, you know.
I call everyone Doctor. So, you know, it
works. That works out really good. Doctor, Doctor, Doctor.
Bingo.
That's the only reason I got the doctorate is for one, for my wife has to call me doctor every once in a while. And like when I check into a hotel, you know, like all tatted up and gruff looking, they have this Dr. Piccolo. Who's this guy?
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that works.
It does. So the reason we have you on, the reason I have you on is because I like what you're doing, man. There are so many struggling restaurants out there. There's so many struggling people. This pandemic's just been a mess. And especially the industry, man. So let's talk about like one day you just said, hey, you know what? I've had enough. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to say, hey, you know what? Let's raise some cash, raise some money for those others out there struggling, man.
Yeah, it all started for us. You know, we were really stitched into the community from the beginning. It's been part of our brand DNA. It's who we are as operators, my wife and I. But in the beginning, when they shut down outdoor dining for, you know, the fourth or fifth time here in California, it coincided with a breakdown of the unemployment system as well. There was billions of dollars that were misappropriated through the unemployment system in California. So when they effectively shut down the entire restaurant industry because indoor dining was closed, outdoor dining was closed, bars were closed, it was really the whole industry. Hundreds of thousands of people were left without jobs going into the holidays. You know, and most, if not many of them, had to make a decision between paying rent, putting food on the table, or buying Christmas gifts for their kids. And we said, I mean, you know, they can't just shut us down without offering any sort of lifeline to those that are affected the most, our hourly restaurant workers, which is why we started 86 Restaurant Struggle.
You know, when you mention that, I'm a huge fan. My daughter is 11. She cooks better than anybody ever met, but the rest of us don't cook much. We eat out so much. And I thought about that. Like when the industry went down, it was like, man, there are so many people relying on those tips, relying on that return customers, relying on just business. That unemployment doesn't cut it, man. It doesn't cut it at all. And if you can get it. So the restaurant industry was just closing down. You like lifelong restaurants, 30, 40 years old, generational restaurants out the door. And, you know, food is more than food. I always tell people like, you know, you can get your nourishment and stuff, but a restaurant, the atmosphere, it becomes almost like a family. And all the restaurant workers are also families. They're sweating, they're working, they're day in and day out, and they don't have that anymore.
Yeah. And food is the great equalizer as well. So you're right. It goes far beyond just the independent job or, you know, even the in-house four wall team that it takes to put the food out. I mean, and the ripple effect of a lot of these lockdowns have been felt through all the industries that service the food service industry from the outside, from consultants to distribution, delivery, et cetera. And none of that has been really, or at least it feels like it hasn't been taken into consideration through the policy, the framework of these shutdowns, because it was just, at least here in California, sorry, you're out of job. Nope, can't get unemployment because the system's broken. Figure it out.
You know, you brought up a damn good point that I never really thought about. I always think about the physical structure and everything gathered in between it, i.e. like the servers, the cooks, the executive chefs, at the waiters, everything. But you never think about the whole ecosystem that from, you know, when you catch that fish in the sea to it gets delivered onto that plate is so involved in the restaurant business. That's millions of jobs just in California alone, I'm sure.
It's millions of jobs. It is it's the livelihood, right? Because, you know, in many cases, those of us who are passionate about our job is who we are, right? So, you know, a fisherman is a fisherman by their nature. They also happen to make money doing it. When you remove their ability to fish, you've removed their identity. So I'm not trying to get philosophical and deep here, but I think those are the points that have been left out of many conversations related and regarding the effect of this policy. And
you brought up some great points, because it's, you know, when someone gets out of the service, out of the military, whether police or whatever, they're out, their identity is gone. And that's when mental health crisis happens, within that 1 to 2 months, within that 3 or 4 months. And as it keeps going on and on, you're like, my identity is gone. You don't have another identity. Food, like we've said before, and like we talk about it all the time, because my daughter is she wants to be a chef someday. But the thing is, it's something, it's your identity. And I can't imagine the mental health crisis going on.
Yeah, we see it, we feel it. I mean, I've got 4 kids, even just, you know, I'm not saying my 4 kids are suffering from any particular crisis, but even if we look at it on a micro scale, right, within our own world, our families, and I see like my kids can't interact with other kids, you know, they can't fulfill the things that were part of their daily lives. And as a kid, right, that is your identity. Your identity is going out and being a kid.
You know,
if you are locked in a closet, effectively, you know, children lose their identity as kids. Now extrapolate that across every industry, everything.
It's my real. My 12-year-old, video gamer, loves it, online all the time, goes to me, I can't wait to go back to school 4 days a week, because they're doing 2 days a week here now. And I'm like, whose kids are these? And I'm like, but it's true, they want to be around their friends, they want to, people, you need social interaction, man. You don't want to be in a prison, you don't want to be in these self-contained apparatuses or these cells. It just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So how can we help?
Look, you know, for us, it's all about sharing the good word. We're trying to tell everybody's story day in and day out. And some struggles are a bit more intense than others. And for us, food is always the answer. That's why, in addition to the 86 restaurant struggle, a lot of what we do, my wife and I, is just giving away food, right? Like using food as a opportunity to be positive, especially across social platforms, using it as a conversation starter, as a dialogue piece, sharing that message and engaging that's the most important thing for us.
Well, there's a reason there's 87 billion pictures of food on Instagram. I mean, what are all these people doing without restaurants, man? I'm telling you.
Well, they're baking bread at home, not doing a good job at it.
Yeah. The whole baking bread thing. I'm glad that fad is out, man. It just doesn't work. Yeah. But brother, whatever we could do, I'm going to post up some links to you and to your restaurants and Slapfish Restaurant Group. And you grew from food trucks out to a massive restaurant conglomerate, huh?
Yeah. Started it, bootstrapped it as a food truck back in 2011. And now I've, you know, kind of cobbled it together.
Okay. Now I'm going to ask something out there for the veterans and those getting out of the service. A lot of people really are looking for that next mission, looking for the next, hey, you know what can I do to better myself? I always tell people, if you don't want to be in law enforcement, you want to do something, find a passion. And a lot of them have that passion for being a chef or getting into the industry. You have any advice for anybody that kind of wants to take that, you know, that next step?
Well, you know, I think that specifically veterans have amazing stories to tell. And I think that what they've done for the country, everybody respects. So they're already starting off, from a good jumping off point. And with that, when it comes to starting a restaurant and you have a passion for food, pick one thing you do really well and make it your thing. Make that the centerpiece of your restaurant concept, your food concept, and really always focus on that one thing. That's going to make 90% of your money. All of the other stuff is only going to be 10% of your income. So don't put too much energy and effort into trying to diversify your food offerings and your concept if you can't master that one thing.
Oh, I like that a lot. That's a great idea. And, you know, so training too. I mean, you're a very well-trained, well-educated person within that realm. Would you have any like suggestions saying, hey, you know what, go get a job here, do this, get some schooling?
I mean, definitely don't go the schooling route. I highly recommend against it. You're going to get the best schooling in a restaurant. You're going to see everything. Look, 95% of my daily work now is the people element, right? It's about managing people, emotions. I'm a psychologist. Once you master your craft, that's the fun part. But that's not what owning a business is about. And you can learn those things. The only way you can learn those things is on the job, is through experience.
Love it, man. I love it. Well, we are going to support you. We're going to spread the message. And thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.